and some spirits with negative results over here. It's easier for small trials to be brushed under the carpet than for big ones to be brushed under the carpet. So, what you would expect to see if there's no publication bias, if there are no small negative trials going missing in action, is you have lots and lots and lots of true, accurate trials all clustering around the true effect up here, and then down here you have lots of small spurious positive trials, and over here lots of small spurious negative trials. But here you can see the small spurious negative trials are missing, they've been deleted from history. And this is a graph demonstrating publication bias in studies of publication bias, which I think But the story's really more hideous. This is a drug called Reboxetine, it's an antidepressant, which I myself prescribe to patients. Reboxetine looked like a safe and effective drug. We had lots and lots of trials that were all done brilliantly. But the trouble is, even if you look at all of the trials that have ever been published and you check and you make sure they've been done in a sensible way, you can still be misled, because it turned out that 74% of all of the trials that have ever been done on this drug were hidden, withheld from doctors and patients, which is criminal and ridiculous. And when we finally got the results in October 2010, of all of them, thanks to some basically investigative undercover work by some academics, it turned out that this drug wasn't just ineffective, it's probably worse than useless. This is a drug called Tamiflu. You've probably heard of Tamiflu because our government has spent literally billions and billions of pounds on it. There's an organisation called the Cochrane Collaboration, which is an international non-profit academic collaboration around the world. What it does is it produces summaries of all of the trials that have been done, which doctors can then use to make decisions about treating patients. It's the absolute gold standard for evidence. And the company that makes Tamiflu have been refusing to give the Cochrane Infectious Diseases Group the results on Tamiflu from a whole bunch of trials that were conducted, which they say were positive, but they won't let them see any of the numbers that they need to come to a conclusion. Frankly, absurd. And in case you were under any illusion that somebody is doing something about this, that somebody is fixing this, this is a drug called Orlistat. It's a sort of anti-obesity drug. Orlistat and Ramonabant were the two big drugs on the market for this. Neither of them actually work very well. The Nordic Cochrane Group were trying to get the results so they could do a proper survey of all of the trials that have ever been done on these two tablets. The drug company wouldn't give it to them. They went to the European Medicines Agency, who have all of this data. And the European Medicines Agency refused to give it to them for 3 years. So for 3 years, doctors were in the dark about how rubbish these drugs were. In fact, during that period, Ramonabant came off the market because it turned out that it does more harm than good and has very serious side effects. We would have known about that before, properly, as prescribing doctors, if drug companies were forced to hand over the results of their trials as they come in, without exception. And there's no sort of happy ending to this story. In fact, you know, I don't know, I can write a book on it, and I'll come here and shout at you in the Anvil Theatre in Basingstoke. But it's right to me that that's a slightly unsatisfactory response to what is probably the single biggest, most important ethical and regulatory failure in the whole of medicine today. Thank you very much.
Someone wrote to the BBC. I actually don't know that the amount of flack that I've talked about with Ben before, there's a lot of flack that he gets, obviously, people write to. And I don't know how he manages to deal with it, because I occasionally have had flack from people for, I hope that's one of the most interesting ones, or an arts thing, was on Twitter every now and again I get unfollowed for something. My favourite unfollowing that's happened in the last 5 months was someone unfollowed me because I gave away the fact that Godot doesn't appear in the play Waiting for Godot. He wrote to me furious. They went, I was going to see that in May, you've ruined it. I won't bother now. And I suggested it wasn't really the play for them. And I wrote a thing for Telegraph last year. Telegraph got in contact with me, and they said, I wonder if you'd like to write a kind of semi-regular column. And so I wrote them a column, and they went, yeah, that would probably do. Even necessarily I to write. And basically, so they asked me, the column I wrote was about Schrodinger's cat. And basically what happened was they said, could you write a column based around the week's news? And it was the week that that woman put a cat in a bin. And Schrodinger's cat started to trend. So I thought, well, that's quite an interesting thing to write. You know, that Schrodinger, that something, a nasty news story, a banal news story, can actually lead people to ideas in 20th century physics. So I thought, well, I'll write about this. And I was very clear right at the beginning. I said, I in no way condone cruelty to cats. Clearly what this woman did was wrong. I made that very clear in the first sentence. I then made it clear that she wasn't trying to emulate Schrodinger's thought experiment anyway. I said, you know, there was no control bin. So, you know, it's very...